Check one, two. Check one, two. Check one, two. Check, check.
On the blustery beach. I think if I had hair, you could see how really windy it is up here. But we're ecstatic that you're here for our 8 o'clock service, dangling your toes at one of God's most beautiful playgrounds. We'd like to extend a special welcome to all the folks who are watching this online. We now broadcast on our website, hopeonthebeach.com. And it's an awesome website. It's so easy. You log on, you scroll down, and bingo, there we are in all our living glory. You can also download the worship folder and the connect card online. And if you are watching us, please, please, please post something, because we want to say hello and acknowledge you and just thank you for being part of this extended Hope family. The folks sitting down here on the beach, you are now in our no judgment zone. Didn't know if you knew that or not, but it's a special no judgment zone where you are welcome as you are. Feel free to worship in ways that you're comfortable in worshiping. You can sit down, you can stand up, raise your arms in praise. I would do that. It's a little difficult on the right side today, but do some jumping jacks. And you know what? When you're moved, and you will be moved, throw a couple amens and hallelujahs up here, because you know what? We don't want to be a quiet church. Now, I would ask you to open up your worship folder, pull out your Connect card, which you can see me holding in my slightly immobile right hand, and fill out the information on the front side. Give us the information you're comfortable in sharing with us, and we'd just like to know who you are and where you came from and how you found us, and if you have any real special reason why you're joining us today. Believe me, we are all gifts from God. You are here for a reason, and He has you sitting here exactly where He wants you. You know, we have a pretty simple mission statement. We say every day we want to awaken hearts to Jesus. And, you know, in this short time that we're here, I pray to God that He comes in here and gives you a couple tugs and gives you prods and gets your attention and keeps nourishing your heart and awakens it with the grace and the mercy and the love that only He can give us. Today, we're going to have the privilege of having our Director of Ministries and all-around good guy, Steve Rice, speak to us about prayer and how we need to continually be looking for those folks in dark times who need our presence and our prayers. Prayers work. We had a small group. We have a small group, and Lou over here told us about some prayers that they gave some people and the miraculous healing that came from it. So believe me, miracles do happen. We'll talk about Peter, the Apostle Peter, who was, when he was in prison, he was chained to the walls. He was shackled to guards. He was in an impregnable fortress. All of a sudden, the earth starts shaking, the chains come off, the doors open, and out goes Peter in a state of disbelief. But where did he go? He went back to the followers, and what were they doing? They were fervently praying for Peter. So prayers open doors. I like to have that image of when God said, your prayers are like the most beautiful incense going up to heaven. Well, you know what? The more we pray, we're the air fresheners. And just think about it that way. So keep praying. One last little 10-second bit of housekeeping. Happy birthday, honey. And yes, I got the better end of that deal, and she gets to be my caregiver for the next 4 to 6 weeks, which, so, you know, prayer works over that way. But she did say that based on that experience, she would like to host a small group for ladies titled How to Biblically Handle Your Petulant, Immature, and Whining Husband. So we think that'll be standing room only. So now I'm going to invite you to all stand up with full voices and sing your hearts out. We have never been busted for a noise infraction down here. So Sam, take it away.
This is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful to generations. So I still got joy in chaos.
I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Let me flows through you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad. Let me down. You're faithful through generation. So why would you fail now? You won't.
Sing this to him.
You won't. You won't fail.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. God, we thank you for your faithfulness as a father and as a friend, Lord, that when everything around us is failing us, when everyone around us is failing us, God, you are there with us. Let us not forget that, Lord.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living, behold them. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became as a least of us. Behold, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the
They're getting him a handheld. I'd start it for you, but I don't know the sermon. I think it's about prayer, though. That's what I heard. Jinxed
it. Check. You want to use mine? Check, check. You know, mine always works. My heart's right. That's right. My heart's right.
Yeah, you get the good mic. You want me to keep telling jokes? I got about 20 minutes of material. I mean,
okay, we'll try that. Hey! Well, thanks for being here. Let's prep. I do still have time to bring you a message, so that's good. I am Steve, and I am blessed to be the Director of Ministries here at Hope. I've been here about a month, so... it's good to be back with you on the beach and to continue our series on being sent. In our last message, we heard how Peter received the instruction to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he's on that mission when we pick up the action in Acts chapter 12 today, and Peter is interrupted by King Herod. Let me ask you, have you ever been in the dark. It's so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Yeah, I was in a cave once and they turned the lights out for us to experience that thick, heavy darkness. I mean, you couldn't really even hardly know your hand was moving. You couldn't feel it. Well, Peter finds himself today in that kind of darkness, in a prison. It was probably lit by some torch lamps, but it was dark. And so we're going to see how he got out of there today. So let's look at our scripture. Let's begin with Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. Intending to persecute them, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now we're going to make this an interactive morning, okay? Those words, earnestly praying, we're going to call those out once in a while. I'm going to ask you, what was the church doing? There we go. See, this will be fun, won't it? Yeah, I know you're excited about it. Here's what we're going to learn today. We start with point number one. We need to pray for those in prison. Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about those incarcerated, certainly those within the prison system. If we have some connection and can pray for them, we should. But when I see this word prison, I think you and I are surrounded, and maybe we find ourselves. We are surrounded by folks in a prison. Maybe even we ourselves are in a prison. We are in the dark in an area of our life. We are locked up. Peter found himself in all kinds of shackles and guards, and he did not have a will of his own. And so many times, point A, people can be imprisoned by their sin. So many times we can become handcuffed, chained, tethered by our sin. We can't get away from it. We're surrounded by folks who are in prison. Now, we've fancied it up in our day and time. We'll even deliver mail to prisons, other prisons. Our next door neighbor may be in prison and we don't even know it. They're locked up and chained up by some sin in their life, some issue they're struggling with. And the church is to pray for them. Peter is in prison. Now this is where the fun starts. Because the church is doing what? Right. They're earnestly praying for Peter, but they're not ready for what happens. They are not even halfway prepared for a knock on the door. So I want us to look at this Let's look at our memory verse. Is quite simple. Pray continually. Means that I carry the Lord with me all the time. And I am praying continually. I am always conscious of the Lord in my life and what He would have me do. And so our memory verse is just that. In 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continuously. So let's see what happens next. This is a great event. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards, came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Now you got to get this picture. You got to get this. Peter is sleeping between two guards. Now Romans had a habit. If their prisoner escaped, the guards were put to death. So they weren't taking this job lightly. So he's sleeping between two guards, and the angel comes and wakes him up, pokes him on the side, "Get up." Now Peter jumps up. Angel tells him to get dressed, get your coat, we're going. Peter is following instructions, but he doesn't think it's real. He thinks it's vision. He thinks he's just dreaming a little bit. He's seeing what could happen or might happen. But Peter finally is following. They go past the first four guards. They go past the second four guards and out the door, which opened by itself. Of course it did. So the door opens by itself, and Peter all of a sudden is back in the city. And when he gets a block away from the prison, the angel's gone. And Peter is out of prison. He's out. There's a couple of things that strike me here. One is all the heavy guard that never woke up, never saw him walk out the prison. And the other thing is even a light shone. Did you see that? Now they're in a dark cave, maybe some torch lights at best, and a light shines. Now this is a point of emphasis, because the church was earnestly praying. Peter, in prison, is awakened by an angel and the light is shining. Now, beloved, I want you to get a hold of this picture and see what prayer can do. I want you to understand that Hope on the Beach Church is called to be a church of prayer, and we are to be praying for those who find themselves in a prison of sorts, and we are to pray for them so that in their darkness, guess what happens? A light shines. Jesus comes to their life. And all of a sudden, in the darkness, when they don't understand where to go next, they don't have an answer for their dilemma, they don't know what to do or even where to reach out, Jesus brings a light. And why would he do that? Because the church is earnestly praying. It's what we do. We pray for folk. See, what interested me here, and in fact, Pastor Jason and I talked about this for a little bit, the Bible doesn't tell us what the church was praying for. Now, I've been in church work a while, and I can tell you my experience is that if this were a prayer meeting I was leading, I don't believe I would hear anyone pray, "Lord, I'm asking you to send an angel to Peter's prison, and could you wake him up, get him dressed, and could you get him past the two guys he's sleeping between, and could you get him past 16 other guards? Because that would be awesome." I don't expect to hear that prayer. What I expect the prayer to be is, "Lord, be with Peter. News, the Lord's already with Peter. We need Peter out of prison. That's what we need. We need Peter to be set free. Peter wants to be set free. You have friends, family, who are fighting that addiction, fighting that bitter attitude, fighting that old habit, that struggle of some sort. They're in the dark. They can't see where to go. And we need to ask God to shine a light into their life. We need Jesus to come today. We need to pray for folks to come out of prison." So Peter finds himself in the city, and he's not sure what to do next. So what he decides to do is go where he's most comfortable, and that's to the church, where they have been earnestly praying. "You're getting weaker on me. I feel you fading. You're tired of the game already. I get it." So he's got to go to the church. Well, the church in these days met in housing. And so he's going to go to the house where the church is in prayer meeting. They're still praying for him to get out of prison. Now, this is where we turn into the average church. Because they're praying for Peter. There's a knock on the door. and they refuse to believe that it's Peter. Let's look at what the Bible tells us. First of all, let me give you number two. God's answers come on His time frame. We can be praying earnestly, but God doesn't deliver Peter until the night before. The night before Herod was going to bring him to trial. See, here's one thing I've learned about God. He may never be early. He can be early, but he may not be. But he's never late. God's never late. But prayers come answered on His time frame. And often His answers will exceed our expectation. Like I said, I don't think the church expected Peter to be at the door. How many times have you been surprised by God's answer? How many times has it come back bigger than you ever dreamed? See, the scripture promises here in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God can do way more than we can even think, than we ask. Our prayers may be weak. We may be asking God to just be with Peter, and God wants to release Peter. We're afraid sometimes to ask too big, but we should ask big, because God's big, don't you think? We can ask big. It's okay. God's not on His throne this morning, receiving your prayers and biting His nails and going, "Oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know Doug was going to want that." No, that's not the God I serve. The God I serve spends most of His time looking at me thinking, "Rice, why are you so wimpy? Give me something good. Trust me for something amazing." God wants to answer our prayer. And He does. And He can do more than we ever expect. So let's see what happens. Peter comes to himself, the Bible said. And he says, "Now I know without a doubt the Lord has sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." And when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." Now, poor Peter has just escaped from prison. And he's gone to the one place he thinks can help him. And he knocks on the door, and Rhoda forgets to open it. She's so excited. She runs back, tells the group, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. when she kept insisting it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. But Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and he left for another place. He got out of there. They finally opened the door and let him in, and he's like, "I just got out of prison. I gotta go. But tell everybody what God did." And off he went. When they finally decided to open the door. How many times have we refused? This is kind of a punch in the gut. How many times have we refused to receive the change in people when the light comes on? Peter's knocking at the door. They can't let him in. They can't even believe it's him. Rhoda's out of her mind. But we have to learn to open the door. When folks change, we've got to receive them and accept them. Peter reaches this point. Look at 3. We should watch and expect God's answer. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Letter A there. Doubts happen. It's okay in your prayer to have a doubt. It's okay to wonder if God's going to come through. They happen. The church obviously had been praying earnestly, and yet when the answer came, they weren't ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do the big thing in your life? You see, when God answers, we should celebrate. Rhoda did. She was so excited she couldn't open the door. Rhoda couldn't wait to tell everybody, "It's Peter." And they said, "You're out of your mind. You're crazy, girl." But it was true. Now, we finished with 4. Peter recognized God's hand opened the door. The message is entitled, "Prayer Opens Door." And prayer does open door. I'm trying to get to my car. I want to invite you to find this. It's in your bulletin this morning. Monopoly car. It's a get out of jail free car. On the back, a place for you to list who you're praying for. We're 2 weeks away from Easter. You've seen Easter on the beach before. You know how many people Hope on the Beach Church is expecting on Easter morning at both our sunrise service and our 8:30 beach service. You know what that looks like. You know that people turn their hearts and their minds to the cross and the tomb on Easter. We have their attention. So who are you praying for? Who needs the light to shine? Who needs to be delivered from their darkness? Who do you know? This is for you to keep. You feel who you're praying for. Maybe it doesn't come to you right now, but before the day's over, you'll have names to put here. Maybe you'll have names by tomorrow. Keep the card, put it on the fridge. And when you think of someone, maybe someone this week's going to share with you the darkness they're in. Maybe they're going to tell you about a broken relationship, or they're going to confide in you about a habit they just can't break, or the weight of sin that's on them. They won't describe it that way, but that's what they'll be talking about. And you'll know the light needs to shine. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Ask God to turn them loose. This is what being a part of Hope on the Beach Church is about. Prayer, setting people free. Our mission is to awaken Jesus in the hearts of everyone, everywhere, every day. We want lights to go off. We want the light to shine. So this morning, I don't know who you might pray be praying for. You might be having your own battles. And if you need prayer, you can put that on the back of your connection card, and we will pray for you. We want God's light to shine. That's what we want. May He shine on you and those you love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the goodness of your heart, for the love you bring us, for the grace you extend to us. And Father, we thank you for the promise of this story about Peter, the promise that it brings to a church who might pray for those in darkness around us. In these next weeks, may we see your hand move mightily as we pray one by one for the folks on our list. We want them to be freed, and we ask for that in Jesus' name. Let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks very much, Steve. Really appreciate that. And as we respond to God's love and his work in our heart, we have an opportunity. He's shown that light, set us free. And we're just him. We're stewards and to use the gifts he's given us to worship and to honor him and serve him. And one of the ways we do that is in our giving. So in your worship folder, there's a envelope or the QR code. You go to the website, hopeonthebeach.com. All those are ways that you can help support the ministry here and to continue your worship and to say, God, we want to have the lights go on, and we want to set up lights all through the beaches in South Walton and beyond to go beyond this place and the people's hearts and let his kingdom reign. Also in your worship folder is a connection card, and there is an opportunity to share what God is doing. Again, if you want prayer, we're available after the service. We'd love to pray with you on that sheet. But also, if you haven't maybe made that step, the lights just came on for you today. What Jesus has done for you to free you from the prison by his death and resurrection, that's what brings that light. Let us talk to you about it. We'd love to talk about it from our baptism. And then also, you have an opportunity to get plugged in. We'll have about 3,000 or more people in the beach, depending on what the population is. But last year was 3,000. Now we're adding two more services. So we'll see what the Lord does with that. But, we're asking the church to step up and be part of that. And so on your connection card, you see opportunities that you can plug in at the different venues and different times, whether it's Good Friday, here at Edwellene, our Inlet Beach, or at Shunk Gully, or our 98 campus. Please prayerfully consider that. Don't assume that there's somebody out there that's going to do it. When you assume somebody, it means nobody. And so we are asking the one body, which is you. And so this is your service. Would you consider being there and doing another one, whether it's the Shunk Gully one or the Come for the Sunrise and Serve and then Worship one? But we cannot do this without the whole church being in prayer and the whole church serving together. And so once you kind of click that venue, then we'll follow up with you and help train you and place you in a place that will fit your gifts and your comfort. And we're also incentivizing this wonderful shirt I have on underneath this sweatshirt that I got cold on, that we are loved to give you a shirt for this day so people know that you're here to serve. And don't confuse the crowd. It can identify. It's really important that we have good hospitality and help lead the groups. And so we'd love to get a shirt made for you. And so we need to know who's going to be able to serve and get the size and get it done in time. And so you also see opportunities. We got the shells, praise God, the ladies got together yesterday, and I think did over 158 layettes for the hospital, and the men just took apart the campus and cleaned it up. So praise God, thank you for everyone serving and helping out. Really greatly appreciate it and what a difference it's making. So we're going to continue our worship, and as we do, ushers are going to come around with buckets, and you can put your connection card in there and your offering in there as we continue to worship together.
Better wake up.
We thank you for your goodness, and your goodness and mercy is that you come to us as the story reminds us, in our prison too, in our darkest of times. I mean, I wish the Christian life was like, ding, you were done, and you never went back to darkness, and darkness ever kind of grabbed us in moments and pulled us down, or we never were tempted by darkness thinking it was light, and we stepped into it thinking it was good and it was right and it was wrong. We deceived ourselves. In fact, the scripture says that we deceive ourselves, that we actually deceive ourselves to say that sin is not in us. But God, sin is in us. Darkness is in us. And so, God, why we proclaim you are good, we realize that there's still, man, this darkness and this battle in us. And that, I mean, I'm always just so grateful that you keep me out of prison, or you let me see the cell and you pull me back, or when I'm just down in the pit, you come into that darkness. And so, God, I just realized that on my own, I got a tendency for darkness, and I need you to keep awakening this heart. I need you to keep freeing us. And so we do that by just confessing that, Lord, we by our sinful nature, or by our nature, are sinful and rebellious. And we're tempted, and we maybe even just play with darkness. God, we pray by your Spirit and by the power of the resurrected Jesus that conquered all, would you just free us now? I invite you to confess it so God frees you. Name the prison. Name the darkness. It's my honor, privilege, by virtue of just the office of pastor. It's been established by this church to be able to proclaim to you the word of God that says, like, the Lord Jesus died on that cross, and he died in your place. But he rose, and he has conquered the grave. He has conquered Satan. He's conquered sin. He has set you free from that prison. That doesn't define you. That doesn't rule you. That he is a deliverer. And by his mighty work, you are forgiven. And he comes now in this meal that he promised to be here in his presence. And it says, take my presence. Take this light. This is the light that shines. It's Jesus. Take it in. May it just cover you, fill you, fill your whole body with the Spirit of God. That you may be this vibrant follower. You may be the light that shines as you lead this place into the dark world. Because our world is dark. And it's needing a church that wants to shine. It's needing Christians that are going to be bold and step up. It needs Christians that are going to share the truth to people and invite them to truth and pull them out of their darkness and their prisons and their pits and be able to get in there. But you're going to step in a pit. You've got to be out of the pit. And you've got to have the strength of Jesus to do that. This isn't something we do on our own. It's by the power of God. And what's great is God is here to equip you. God is here to remind you. God is here to give you the Spirit to keep you in constant, earnest prayer. Communion with him. So God, we come to your table to commune with you. For you have come to us. So our Lord Jesus Christ, once betrayed, he took bread, and after he gave him thanks, He broke it and gave it to him and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and after he gave him thanks, he gave it to him and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of new covenant was shed for you for forgiveness of all your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so this is the meal for the baptized, those who've been brought into that covenant relationship with God by his grace and mercy. For those who recognize, man, God, I want Jesus, and Jesus is here. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." Look, it's that simple. It's just he's here. He promises to be here. He promises to give us the grace and the spirit that we need. For he says, if we abide in him, he abides in us, and we bear abundant fruit. A fruit that lasts. And so that's your heart, that's your profession. Then say amen. And then we invite you to come forward and how to receive it. Now, it is windy here, and I don't want to just blow Jesus down the beach, all right? The wafers are going. The good news is, like, God uses the bread for his purposes. When he's done, so we're not going to get hung up if the bread blows over. It's not some relic that's terrible, you know. Bread is bread, it will feed the birds. God loves birds, I get. But what I want you to do is put your hand out like this and be ready with your other hand, be ready to put your thumb right on the wafer so you get it. Or don't just try to do a two-finger grab today, I think you'll lose. So do this so we can do it in a way that's honorable to the gift it's given. And then just take it, and then you're gonna dip it in the wine on either side. So we can have two lines, it's not rude, and we'll go one side, I'll just kind of go back and forth, unless you're a couple or family, I'll try to do you together to give you the bread. And if you can kind of block the wind a little bit, that would be helpful. And we're gonna try to proceed in a worshipful way to receive, in a reverent way to receive Christ. So prepare your hearts. Let me commune them, and then I'll invite you forward as we continue worshiping our God.